Oh, Portland, the KBOO Evening News is next.
KBOO is looking for a grant writer to join our team. We are seeking someone with a proven track record in writing successful, complex proposals for diverse sources of grant funding. Previous experience working in the philanthropic landscape of the Portland metro area is preferred, and previous experiences working with community media organizations and with communities of color are A+. This is a one-year contract position for a total of 200 hours at $25 an hour, and the grant writer will work closely with the KBOO Development Director. For more information, go to our website at kboo.fm and click on the KBOO is hiring link on the right side of the home page.
Hello, this is Susan Cecil, and I love KBOO. Do you love KBOO? Call us at 503-231-8032, extension 302, and tell us why you love KBOO. We'll use the audio during our upcoming spring membership drive. It takes the community to support the community radio station KBOO! Yay! The number again, 503-231-8032, extension 302. This has been Susan Cecil for KBOO Portland, signing out. Bye!
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, tonight we have special programming highlighting the global climate strike here in Portland, where thousands of teenagers march for public school education on climate change.
Also tonight, a super bloom of wildflowers has erupted in Southern California.
And Indigenous Australians can now file for damages from colonial road and water development projects.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, March 15th, 2019. I'm Michelle Coppola.
And I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. Yesterday in Christchurch, New Zealand, three white supremacists staged a coordinated attack on two mosques, killing 49 people and injuring dozens more. The three are all in custody, and the suspected ringleader is only being described as an Australian in his 20s. None have been named. New Zealand authorities said the main gunman is a white supremacist who posted a 74-page manifesto on social media outlining his racist beliefs and praising President Donald Trump. Trump deleted his first tweet about the attack, which linked to a conservative story about the shooting on Breitbart.com, then sent another tweet expressing condolences, calling the attack, quote, a horrible massacre, end quote. Social media played a significant role in the mass shooting, which was live-streamed on Facebook and 8chan by the shooter, who wore a GoPro camera strapped to his head as he murdered worshipers during their Friday prayers. Facebook said in a statement that police alerted them to the video and that they were deleting it and supportive posts about it from all their platforms. Scenes and stills from the atrocity were also uploaded to YouTube, which quickly made a public announcement that it was trying to remove them. The website Reddit today announced that it had banned the forums called, quote, gore and, quote, watch people die.
This morning here in Portland, Oregon, hundreds of students gathered to form a rally outside of Portland City Hall. That was an effort to curb effects of climate change, which is predicted to have only a few years to mitigate, and they'll have a lasting effect on their lives. KBOO reporter Jean DeLapine was at the event.
I'm standing outside of Portland City Hall, where there are hundreds of students gathered today, outside of class, all demanding one thing: action against the growing threat of climate change. Crescendoing and falling with cheers.
Y'all ain't ready for a real protest. One young woman in the crowd is holding a legal pad of paper in her hands, and I decide to speak with her.
What would you say is the best message to give any person my age, 30 or older, about the current climate crisis we're going through?
I think it would be important to say that, you know, we shouldn't just consider our own futures, but the futures of others. I'm actually here not supporting the demonstration. I'm not a fan of demonstrations, but I'm here supporting the cause and doing a survey myself. But I think it's really important that we consider just the potential that the youth has and that you can have.
Could you repeat that last part?
I think it's important to think about the potential that the youth has and the potential that we can change the way things are, and that we should keep an open mind to different ideas and not just think about the classic go-to ideas.
What is your survey about?
My survey is for my IB Global Politics class. It's about educator activism and educator bias in schools.
What have you found from your survey so far?
It's actually split right down the middle right now. Some students think that teachers should not be able to express their opinions in class and teach their opinions because unbiased education is important, and then some say that the free speech of teachers is also important and that they should be allowed to.
Awesome. And what have you found from your current classmates?
It's really, really divided. It's pretty, pretty split up. There was an event, I don't know how long ago, where a middle school teacher led a walkout and a die-in, and that was a big controversy in the district. And so I think that, like, using case studies like that and showing students that there are two sides to every story should be done.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your work in your class and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Jean Delapine for the KBOO Evening News.
It's snowy plover mating season, so if you go down to the Oregon coast, leave the birds alone. That's the message this week from Oregon Parks and Recreation. Snowy plovers are threatened, and they build their nests right on the sand, making them vulnerable to humans and their rampaging dogs on the beach. Today through September 15th, state wildlife officials say they'll be posting warning signs at nesting areas, and they hope beachgoers will help protect the plovers. Biologists say the tiny birds' nests and their baby chicks are well camouflaged. During nesting season, humans can drive adult plovers away from their nests as the birds attempt to defend their young from a perceived predator. Left alone too long, eggs or chicks can die from exposure, predators or people. Cindy Burns, the Siusla National Forest wildlife biologist, said, quote, "We're making great strides in reversing the downward slide of the species, but it takes all of us, so we urge people to do their part to understand nesting season rules and to share the beach this spring and summer with the birds."
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. At 5:30 this evening, it is Counterspin. At 6 o'clock, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, The Struggle. Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 39, light winds out of the northeast. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high of 61. It's going to be clouding up in the evening tomorrow night and then clearing up after midnight with a low of 39. Today in history, in 1953, 10,000 civil servants marched in Dublin demanding a just wage. Your quote of the day is from William T. Riker. "Maybe if we felt any human loss as keenly as we feel one of those close to us, human history would be far less bloody."
Federal officials said yesterday California is drought-free for the first time since 2011. Meanwhile, a superbloom of wildflowers has erupted in the mountainsides of Southern California, drawing thousands of happy onlookers. Former Governor Jerry Brown lifted the drought state of emergency in 2017, but this week's announcement by the U.S. Drought Monitor established that the water situation is normal statewide. The Drought Monitor, which collects data from scientists from the National Drought Mitigation Center, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and dozens of weather agencies, last announced a normal water year in December 2011. The past year's rainfall in California triggered massive mudslides and floods, but it has also led thousands of people to the foothills of Riverside County, where California poppies are blanketing the landscape in orange. During the last super bloom 2 years ago, more than 140,000 people traveled to Anza Borrego Desert State Park to take in the landscape.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A bill to rename Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day in Montana had its first hearing in a Senate committee this week after clearing the House last month. Maxine Spire has more.
A steady stream of supporters for House Bill 219 filed into a small room inside the Montana Capitol. State Representative Shane Morgeau, who sponsored the bill and is a member of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes of the Flathead Nation, gave the opening remarks.
You know, Columbus Day is something that I dread every year. I dread that the state celebrates somebody who brutalized innocent people.
Morgeau was joined by Native and non-Native historians, educators, tribes, environmental and human rights organizations, as well as high school students in urging the committee to pass the bill. Many speakers testified they do not want to continue to celebrate an individual who left behind a legacy of human trafficking, slavery, and genocide. A single opponent to the bill spoke at the hearing, Alan Cormany, who is the state deputy of the Montana Knights of Columbus. Cormany suggested that rather than replacing the name of the state holiday, the bill be amended to give the day two names, Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. A similar bill in 2017 to change the holiday to Montana Heritage Day passed the Montana House 75-25, but never made it out of Senate committee. For National Native News, I'm Maxine Spire.
Tribal teams across the country are taking part in basketball tournaments. Several schools with strong Native American populations are working toward state championships this weekend, as South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Eight schools from around South Dakota qualify for the Class B Boys State Tournament each year. One of the teams in this year's field comes from Timber Lake on the Cheyenne River Reservation. The Panthers head coach, Cody Lawrence, says his team has gathered a huge following from the region.
And that's always fun and exciting to see people from around the area, not necessarily from our own town, but from the other towns nearby, and gives a little pride to the kids and helps them out.
Another school in the tournament field, White River, is making its 14th straight appearance. Much of the land around the community is Rosebud Sioux Trust land. White River coach Elton Marshall says fans of the Tigers expect a successful team each season.
It's always been an expectation, you know, so, and that's kind of tough on the kids, you know, when they come in, that expectation's there. And, you know, so, but, you know, the kids, they've, over the years, they've just worked at it, fought through it, you know, and, you know, it's hard to live up to those expectations because that's just, you know, how it's been. So, but I know the excitement's there for the community and the school, and, you know, everyone's excited, and I know the kids are excited to get out and compete.
Two tribal schools are also involved in South Dakota's Class A tournament. Pine Ridge represents the Oglala Sioux tribe in the boys' field, while Todd County from the Rosebud Reservation is involved in the girls' tournament. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed a bill Thursday to improve voting rights for Native Americans, the Associated Press reports. The bill would allow tribal members to use tribal IDs for voter registration. Tribes could also request a voting box for their reservations. Tribal leaders, advocates, and the bill's sponsor say voting needs to be easier for tribal members. The state of Alaska will honor five Lake Tlingit Co-Talkers next week by presenting their families Alaska flags. Flags are currently at half-staff in recognition of their service in World War II. The flag ceremony will follow recent recognition of the Co-Talkers by the legislature. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Support by PrairieEdge.com, where you can find a full selection of Pendleton products, traditional ledger art, beadwork, and quillwork, as well as a complete line of Native books, music, and movies in Rapid City or online at PrairieEdge.com. Wobila.
My day one.
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 Day one. Telling inspiring stories of alcohol recovery. Recovery works. Hope starts here. Go to recoveralaska.org to learn more.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Two Aboriginal groups in Australia will be able to file for compensation against the government for damages due to colonialism. The High Court of Australia ruled that the Ngali Weru and the Noongali people have the right to file claims against the Northern Territory and federal governments for the loss of land and water rights and for, quote, spiritual harm, end quote. Previous court rulings have limited the damages to a few million dollars, but the new verdict will put billions of dollars in settlement money into the hands of Aboriginal Australians, both sides of the case said today. The ruling specifically addressed the loss of economic income related to the land and the loss of a spiritual connection to the land in the 1980s and 90s when the Northern Territory government built roads and infrastructure, which, quote, extinguished, end quote, the people's rights. Other Aboriginal groups are now expected to follow suit and file claims.
The Securities and Exchange Commission yesterday officially charged the Volkswagen Corporation and former CEO Martin Winterkorn with defrauding investors during its diesel emissions scandal. The move surprised auto industry observers. That's because it's been 2 years since Volkswagen settled with the U.S. over criminal and civil charges for misrepresenting exhaust levels of its diesel vehicles. 4 years ago, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency determined that Volkswagen installed software on almost 500,000 cars that enabled them to cheat on emissions tests. The software reduced nitrogen oxide emissions when the cars were placed on a test machine, but then allowed higher emissions and improved engine performance during normal driving. The Securities and Exchange Commission says in 2014 and 2015, Volkswagen issued more than $13 billion in bonds and asset-backed securities in U.S. markets when senior executives knew its vehicles were rigged to exceed legal vehicle emission limits.
Today, thousands of Portland Public students walked out of class and marched together downtown as part of the global climate strike. Here's KBOO's Paul Cienfuego at the march.
Interviewed or talked to the deputy superintendent and have footage of her walking away as we ask her questions about why this hasn't been implemented, because it's been 3 years and nothing has changed. We need this to be implemented because if it isn't, there is literally no point in education. Yeah, if the world is gone, we're all dead and there's no reason for us to be here in the first place.
Yeah. What's your name really quick?
Ethan Eisner.
How do you spell it?
E-T-H-A-N-E-I-S-N-E-R.
Well, and what school do you go to?
Wilson High School.
And what year are you?
I'm a junior.
So do you guys have the program at Wilson?
No, not at all.
We have AP Environmental Science, but it doesn't talk about climate change.
None of our classes talk about climate change. There's a little bit in environmental science, but that's an optional class that people really just take for the credit.
Yeah. What happens when you ask your teachers about it?
Teachers don't teach anything about it. Like, no one really knows anything about what the district is supposed to be teaching or telling us.
Yeah. The teachers don't really actually have that much power. Our teacher, Tim Swinehart, was one of the people that actually wrote the curriculum for IB Geography and environmental justice regarding these, like...
Ethan Eisner.
How do you spell it?
E-T-H-A-N. Yeah.
About it. Like, no one really knows anything about what the district is supposed to be teaching or telling us.
Yeah. The teachers don't really actually have that much power. Our teacher, Tim Swinehart, was one of the people that actually wrote the curriculum for IB Geography, environmental justice, regarding these, like, issues about the climate crisis. And it's been 3 years, and they're not in our schools. Lincoln is one of the most privileged PPS school, and we have a curriculum. So what does that say about climate justice?
Yeah. Well, and recently there was a statement that
a PPS district official made, and they asked us, they said, would you be interested in creating a student board to create a curriculum? But it's just yet another time where they are trying to delay us. There have been student boards created before. There are student boards that exist today, and it's just another chance where they are able to delay what we're trying to do, and that we need to bring this into our schools today, now, not next week, not tomorrow. It needs to be now.
What's your name?
My name's Jaden.
How do you spell it?
J-A-D-E-N-W-I-N-N, Jaden Wynn.
Wynn, and then school, and what year are you?
Yeah, I go to Wilson High School, and I'm a sophomore.
Okay, cool. So what, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm also from Wilson High School. My name is Jonathan Price, J-O-H-N-A-T-H-A-N-P-R-I-C-E. For the most part, it's pretty simple. But right now, even though in our classes, I think I've only touched on one part, like probably a day that we taught about climate change, and all it was basically we took textbooks from the 80s, and we looked through them, and we basically said, were these predictions right or not? And all of them were right. Like, that's all we know about climate change, is that the world sucks. We're not being taught about how we can change it. We're not taught about today's climate. We're talked about stuff that's from the 80s, from the 90s. We're not given now new information that we can use to actually solve problems. We're given old information that has been proven true and has no bearing on what's happening today.
And part of the resolution that was passed almost 3 years ago is that there would be new literature and new books and new media which would be going into Portland public schools, and that media which was outdated or said that climate justice wasn't the kind of crisis that it is today would be leaving the schools, so that students would be accurately educated, and that is yet to happen.
Yeah. Do you guys think, with those of you who go to Lincoln, the program that you have should be implemented across all schools, or should it be a better one?
It has changed my life. Yeah. Hands down, it has changed my life.
Senior.
And it has been the best class ever. It is very interactive. I learn about issues that I have never heard about in my entire life, and it's wonderful.
I mean, this is the most important thing that we can be teaching kids about right now. I mean, there's really nothing else. This is our future at stake, and we need to learn about it. And right now, at most schools, kids are not learning about it.
This
must be an international priority. So that's why we're here today, marching with 112 countries around the world.
Yeah.
This is why we're here.
This is not a Portland curriculum issue. This is a global issue.
Yeah. My mom's a conservation ecologist, and frankly, I've never not known a world where climate change isn't a thing. And the shock on her face when she's learned just how little we're taught about climate change in the schools is very much there, because we're taught nothing. We're taught nothing about what our future is going to be. Our future is supposed to be taught to us in school. We're supposed to be taught how to be citizens of society. If climate change does happen, we still need to learn about how climate change is going to affect us, because we need to be able to live in that ever-evolving world. We need to be able to live in a world that might suck, but at least we need to know how to deal with it. And the school won't even acknowledge that it's a thing. 90% of scientists agree on this. 90% of scientists don't agree on some of the other stuff that is taught in school, right? Like, we need to be taught the stuff that is actually happening, and right now we aren't.
Something that is affecting our life right now. Like, our climate is changing as we speak. We've already had our first mammal that's gone extinct due to climate change. Mm-hmm. It's something that's going to affect all of our lives, something that's already affecting our lives. Sea levels have already risen. This isn't a new issue. We've known about this for a long time, and PPS refuses to take action.
Yeah.
Our senators refuse to take action.
Yeah, and furthermore, this education is so important, because a few months ago, a bill was in Washington State for a carbon cap, and it looked like it was going to pass. And before it passed, fossil fuel industries and fossil fuel companies invested billions of dollars of putting on an ad campaign to convince people that it was a bad bill and that it shouldn't be passed. And if there's education in our schools, when we try to pass carbon cap laws and fuels company invest those dollars, those ad campaigns will not work. And we will know otherwise, and we will have the education to combat the ad campaigns, the marketing campaigns, which are pushed on us to continue using fossil fuels in our companies.
3 years ago, PPS passed Resolution 5272, promising that they would incorporate climate education in our curriculum. Do you see any climate education in our curriculum?
No!
So why are we here? We are here to finally teach PPS a lesson. We cannot let this madness go on any longer. This is what the change looks like. We are here to demand that we get a climate education for the future that we will live in for the rest of our lives.
We the people of the United States demand our right to a stable future, a future where we can live without the fear of dying. We demand our rights, our rights to the land that we stand upon, where we are standing now. We demand that the people in power stop emitting, stop putting carbon into our air. I'm proud to see that all of you are here, but it is not enough. We need to keep acting. We need to keep holding power accountable, because if we stop here, nothing will change. Right now we have the deputy superintendent who is glad to speak to us. So here's the deputy superintendent.
Good afternoon, students. My name is Yvonne Curtis. I'm the Deputy Superintendent of Instruction and Curriculum in School. I have with me Deputy Claire Hertz and our Chief of School Staff. We want you to know that we are proud that you guys stand up for issues that are important to you. We've been monitoring your activities to make sure you're all safe. And we are very proud of the fact that you have been peaceful, positive, and you're standing up for what you believe is an important thing. We want you to know that we agree that climate justice curriculum work is important. We have a team working on it right now.
Then change it.
I have a question for you.
Yes, we will.
Because we're all here just wondering why, after 3 years of already passing this resolution, that you guys have not already implemented it into all of your PPS schools. So I've been here for 15 months, and a lot of the team working on the curriculum has been here less. So I can't answer for the rest previous, but we've been working on it and will be providing that curriculum.
Why did you then say that you would not implement it because we do not have space to study about our future, about our climate? Because some youth from the Portland Youth Climate Council went to talk to you, and you said, we do not have the space to put it into our curriculum. Why? Why is our future not in this curriculum?
So, I wasn't the one who responded. I don't know the answer to it, but I do think it's important and it should be in the curriculum.
Why aren't other PPS members here? Why do we not get to know the answers about our future? This is our time! This is our fight! We want change and we want it now!
We hear how important this is to you. We hear it is your passion about learning about this global climate and making sure it's in the curriculum for students here and now and in the future. We hear your voices. We are glad that you came and that you shared your needs in what you need in curriculum. We do appreciate hearing from you and seeing you. We would like you to go back to school.
Even here, they brushed us off. It is time we stand up and say no more.
No more.
No more. No more. No more. No more.
district officials and lawmakers make changes now to save and protect our future!
You're listening to the KABU Evening News for Friday, March 15th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Natasha Delapine and Paul Cienfuegos. The producer is Tammy Habateas, and our engineer is Sam Bowman. The Interim Director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Lisa Loving. A podcast and transcript of the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
Coming up Monday morning on KABU at 7, it is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 a.m. on More Talk Radio, hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey take your calls. At 9, it's the Old Mole Variety Hour. At 10 a.m. on Locus Focus,